Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifieds, World of Outlaws, Archives, it's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, 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 good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Tonight, live from the Racetime Radio studio and on Sirius XM. Channel 167, good old Canada Talk. So glad you could tune in. How about that for Speed Weeks 2019? Firmly in the history books. And have we got a ton of stuff to talk about tonight? I'm Joe Chisholm along with Junior here in the studio. Joe, 2019 is underway.
It is, for sure. You know, the indoor shows are all done, but now the real racing's done. You know, looking back at Speed Weeks, what a great week. What a great showing. It was a lot of fun this week. You know, we had to work 9 to 5, but we got a chance to watch all the great racing every single night from New Smyrna. It looked like they had, you know, a stellar lineup of pro late models, super late models, and as well, you know, all the feeder divisions as well as the modifieds and the Florida modifieds. Just a phenomenal week over at the short track, and then as well some great racing, some good racing over at the big track. And, you know, looking at some of the events that unfolded, there's lots to talk about for sure on this show.
Unbelievable. A lot of hardware tore up at the big track, but we'll hang tight there for a moment. Let's talk about New Smyrna Speedway to kick things off, and then I'll tell you about our lineup that we got coming up. Pretty stellar lineup, I got to tell you. Might as well tell you that first. What do you say we do that? Winner of the truck race, Austin Hill, in his number 16 truck, goes to Victory Lane, first-time winner at Daytona. He's done it now. Pretty cool to see, Junior, and I know we got Austin coming up on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Austin Hill has came a long way, and you know, looking back on the success that he's had in his career, it was a big step into the Truck Series back a few years back, and you know, it was a massive step. He had his own team, his own operation that ran part-time. Then moved over to Tyler Young Motorsports last season and had a good showing, you know, in basically every race that he was in. This year, of course, stepping over to Hattori and the HRE team, and boom, just like that, first race out of the box, and they come home with the checkered flag. So just a massive showing for Austin Hill. I couldn't be happier for the guy. You know, looking back, I've been following his career since he was in K&N, and you know, just a great kid, and it's so cool to see him in Victory Lane, and it's definitely going to be a lot of fun to talk to him tonight.
Well, what do you say we get to him right now? Because we do have Austin Hill on that hotline. What's going on, Austin? Congratulations on the big win at Daytona, man. Oop, what's going on here? Let's try that again. There we go. I pushed the right button this time, Austin. I guarantee it. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It was awesome Friday night to do what we did and get the job done.
Absolutely. Friday night under the lights, the Truck Series up and running for 2019. Take us through Friday. It was quite a day for you. You had a fast truck right out of the gate.
Yeah, we did. You know, practice went really well for us. We ended up top of the leaderboard in practice, so we knew we had a fast truck, knew it drafted really good. Qualifying, we tried to get a little greedy, got the engine a little hot on that second run. Still was a pretty good run for us to qualify 10th. And, you know, start of the race, it's a long race, so you're just trying to get in a good spot where you're not, you know, middle of the pack. You know, try to work your way up and stay there for the remainder of the race if you can. And that's kind of the game plan we had. First stage went really well for us. We ended up second, and then when we came in the pits, went back out, we had a good stop, but I guess a few guys, they only took fuel only. So we rolled back out, I want to say 13th or 15th, somewhere around there. Into the second stage in that same spot. We didn't really try to force the issue. And then we had a really good stop there and picked up some good positioning to put ourselves in a good predicament at the end of the race and was able to, get up to the front and hold them off.
Absolutely. Coming down to the end of that race, Austin, it definitely had to be a nail-biting situation for you. But looking back on your career all the way through, you've been put in very intense situations in the past as well. What was it like to finally get that checkered flag, get the monkey off the back in the truck series? It's definitely it's huge for you.
Oh, yeah, man. It's huge for me and my whole family, and really it's huge for Torrey Racing. Yeah, they went out there and they won a lot of races last year. They won the championship, but Daytona is one of those races you want to win as a whole entire organization. You want to get that win at Daytona. So to be able to start the season out and go out there and win like we did and get ourselves in the playoffs, now we get to go have fun the rest of the season. So going forward, you know, we're ready for Atlanta. We're excited. And now we're just going to start racking up some stage points and, try to win some more races.
Absolutely. Looking at your past couple of years in the truck series here, Austin, you guys started your own team basically a few years back and ran part-time in the truck series schedule. Then moved on to Tyler Young Motorsports, kind of an upgrade, if you will, to the equipment that you were in. And now, arguably, well, you're in a championship truck from 2017, or 2018, rather. What's it like to strap into that truck versus the stuff that you've been in the past?
It's unbelievable. It really is. Just the first time I strapped in and rolled out on the racetrack at Daytona, just everything felt right. Just everything about the truck, the way the transmission shifted, just how everything was just so smooth. It was definitely a big difference. Just going to Daytona, Daytona is a place where you're wide open, you're drafting, you're doing all those things, but just Daytona, I still can see what good equipment is now. I can see what I've been missing out on. So that's really cool, and it kind of gives me goosebumps going into Atlanta, just because I know how good this team is and I know how good this equipment is. So Atlanta's going to be one of those races. We're going to put it all out on the line and go try to go back to back.
Yeah, and look at this, Austin. You're now firmly in the history books as not only a truck winner, but how about Daytona winner? Man, that's got to give you goosebumps right there.
Oh, yeah. Me and my dad were actually talking about it this morning. I'm still, I still feel a little shaky from Friday night. I don't know if it's sunk in completely yet. I know when I get back, I'm still in Florida right now. We're actually at Disney World. Took the kids and, wanted to have some fun after the win, so we took the kids down to Disney World, but we're going to get back Monday and get after and get ready for Atlanta. So it's going to be really cool coming back in probably Tuesday mornings when I'll get back. So it'll be cool coming in and seeing the wind banner. We're getting a wind banner made up and going to put in the shop. So that's going to be really cool to be able to walk in and see that every day when you walk in.
Nothing will get you more motivated than some of those banners in the shop. I can guarantee it. Now, at the end of this race, something like the 500, a lot of stuff got tore up, a lot of trucks got tore up, and at the end, you guys had a shootout to the checkered flag. I know it was close with Grant Enfinger right there with you. Did you and Grant talk after the race? Because, man, there was a couple of times there where, man, you could have got wrecked, and he didn't. He sort of stuck with it, made sure he lifted when he had to, and it was a great race to the checkers.
Yeah, it really was. Right there at the end, we were really close on fuel, so we were actually really concerned and worried about that. We had pitted really early in the race, so we were trying to save fuel as much as we could, and when we started having these overtimes that we had, and green, white checkers and just the extra attempt, we didn't think or didn't know if we were going to make it back. with enough fuel. We thought we might run out, so that was something that me and the crew chief Scott we talked about, and we were like, heck, we're going for it. If we run out, we run out. At least we tried. And luckily enough, we didn't run out. Grant had a really good run down the backstretch. I was able to shut the door on him, and then down in 3 and 4, right there in the center, he got a huge run. Actually got to my bumper and started getting me a little loose, center off. And as far as lifting goes, I don't think he lifted. He might have, but luckily enough, we were able to hold on to it and bring it to the checkered flag. Yeah, we were able to celebrate that victory with Hattori Racing, first race ever with these guys. So that's really cool. It was awesome having Chiba Toyotet on board with us. And that's the first race of Gander Outdoors being the series sponsor. So I thought that was a really special deal, being able to get the first win for Gander Outdoors. So, but yeah, I mean, now looking forward, we're really looking forward to Atlanta and ready to get there and get after it.
Austin, that was actually one of my questions. Have you heard how much fuel was left in the tank after that? Because it couldn't have been more than a couple cups.
I haven't heard yet. I actually asked Scott a little while ago. I said, hey, how much fuel was left? I know it doesn't matter, but I'm just curious about it. And he's like, man, I hadn't even done the math on it yet. But he said there couldn't have been but a few drops left. So I think we got really lucky that we didn't have another caution. If we would have had one more caution, I had to go through all that again and do one more, green-white checkered attempt. I don't think we would have had enough to get back to the line then. But luckily we were able to, it all just came together. It was, like you said, it was a wild race, man. It was a lot of beating and banging early in the race. Wrecks happening left and right. We actually had a scarce there at the end of the race with, I think it was 12 or somebody got turned and hit the 99, and somehow we made it through. But all in all, it was a great victory for us.
With Austin Hill tonight, he went to Victory Lane Friday night in that first Gander Outdoor Truck Series race that kicks off 2019. Austin comes away with the checkered flag, making history on Friday night. Now you guys head for Atlanta, Austin. What's the thoughts heading into Atlanta? And it's got to feel good, because every year leading up to here, you guys normally go on somewhat of a hiatus pretty well until April before you get back in the truck. Not so in 2019. You go back-to-back off to Atlanta.
Yeah, it's really cool that the series has us going, heck, three races in a row, and then I think we have a week or two off, and then we run Martinsville. So it's really nice being able to stay in the truck, and just stay fresh. And we don't really have anything off until April, so that's really cool. But man, I'm really stoked and excited for Atlanta. I just feel like it gives the whole team a lot of confidence going into Atlanta. With a new driver and everything, and these guys, that was the first time I've ever worked with them at the racetrack. So I just think it makes everybody start gelling and communicating even better than when. How we were doing when we first unloaded at Daytona. So I think that's just gonna, make us stronger as a whole going into Atlanta, and there's no telling what can happen there.
Absolutely. Character-filled racetrack Atlanta. It's going to be interesting, I can guarantee you that. Fans won't want to miss this truck race. They're not going to want to miss watching Austin Hill and seeing how he can ride the momentum. Austin, we sure appreciate your time tonight. Know you're having fun at Disney there. Look around. You'll see DJ Kennington and probably Jason White and a whole pile of other teams that were busy through Speed Weeks, now having some family time. Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We got a seat for you here anytime, man. We really appreciate your time. We surely do.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that, and hopefully we'll be talking to you guys soon.
Absolutely. That's Austin Hill, winner at Daytona. That's what you want to do, Junior. You want to have a good speed weeks. You want to get out of the box. You want to get out and win. And to do it at Daytona, amazing stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I kind of touched on it a little bit, but really, if you look at a guy like Ross Chastain, who right now, you know, had an awesome opportunity with Chip Ganassi last season, right? But all the way through his career, he was in a lower funded opportunity, you know, in the Xfinity Series, driving for Johnny Davis, you know, driving some Cup Series stuff in the premium motorsports cars. You know, he had an opportunity with Brad Keselowski, but it was before Brad Keselowski Racing was, you know, a powerhouse team, if you will.
Right.
A guy like Austin Hill has got all the same talent, and he's built himself into, you know, an amazing opportunity with HRE. Mm-hmm. So, you know, driving for himself in the K&N series, picked up a whole pile of wins. You know, you think back to the Camouflage 22, I believe the number was, the white car. You know, he picked up a pile of wins in K&N, then went truck racing, and really did not have any results there, but to be expected. You know, it's a new venture. It was a new opportunity. It wasn't a powerhouse team by any stretch, low budget, if you will. And then as well, kind of took a step forward and went to Tyler Young Motorsports, which was a step forward, but not in a massive way.
Right.
Kind of a lateral step, if you will, because the equipment was up to par, but it wasn't championship caliber.
Right.
You know, seeing what a guy can do after learning what's what in a lower funded team and stepping into a good team, this is kind of a feel good story, just like that Ross Chastain deal.
Sure.
You know, it feeds the fuel, or it fuels the fire to gain more opportunities. So once everybody sees what you can do, you attract sponsorship, you attract notoriety with team owners, and the good people want to work for you, and those different things. And it just expedites your career even further. So, you know, good on him, good on them for capitalizing on it right out of the box. And I think that there's a lot of momentum for that 16 truck you know, I'm not just in it because he won at Daytona, but, you know, he's got to be a championship favorite now. He's got to be one of them.
Yeah, he sure does. We're gonna hit a break here, but when we come back, we're going to hear from Grant Enfinger, and we're going to hear from a young lady that ended up finishing the truck race in eighth spot. I believe only the second female to do that in truck series history. We'll hear that on when we come back. We'll also go through some of the results from the truck race. I also got to tell you, we got another Austin coming up on the show that ran at New Smyrna Speedway. He is from Nova Scotia. Young Austin McDonald is going to join us on the show tonight. And we're going to hear from Tracy Hoskins. She was our At the Track reporter. We're going to try and catch up with Tracy before she gets on the flight to head back up here. We're going to try and do that in hour number one. We are going to have lots of time to talk about today's Daytona 500 with you. We've left lots of room in the show in hour number two to definitely talk about the 500 here tonight and all things Speed Week. So get ready to give us a call in hour number two. I'll give you the phone number when we come back, and we'll do that in just a few moments. Stay with us here tonight on Racetime Radio.
Hey, race fans, this is Tracy Hoskins, At the Track reporter for Racetime Radio. You are listening to Racetime Radio on Sirius XM, channel 167. Racetime Radio, we'll be right back.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
Oh. It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, baby. Here
rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race time radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio.
Sirius XM 91.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
I feel the need for speed.
I was dying in that small town.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. How about that for a wild Daytona 500? Oh, man, we're going to get to all of that in just a bit. We're talking about the truck series, though. We just heard from Austin Hill, the guy that went to victory lane. And, man, what a race for Austin Hill. And I got to tell you, watching Grant Enfinger in this race, in that champion Toyota for Thor Sport, back to Ford. That's right, too. He was looking really, really good in this race. Junior, a number of times, I kind of thought he was going to be the man in victory lane, but he ended up coming home second.
A lot of damage to that 98 truck, of course, involved in the big one, if you will, in the race. Ended up sideways, sandwiched between three trucks, and really there wasn't a straight corner left on that truck. And comical when you think about it, they spend so much time in the wind tunnel getting ready for Daytona, and you can piece it back together on pit road with a sledgehammer and get back out there and finish second. A lot of attrition in the race, you know, look at it, really, there was only 10 trucks at the end that were running. That were still rolling, correct. So, the Stuart Friesen finished in 10th spot, and he was a DNF.
Yet another guy that looked like he had potential to win in that race. There was a lot of trucks that did look like they could win that race.
Absolutely.
But he did look incredibly fast. I kind of thought it was going to be his day.
Yeah, there was a lot of really fast trucks, and really that aero package allows... You could strap a sheet of plywood to the front of the truck and draft with the best of them. Mm-hmm. They punch such a big hole in the air and really you can really get up and get up on the wheel and get after it. Also creates a lot of carnage, just simply because they are a little bit unstable, and because of that massive air wake, it creates a big hole, and your closing rate is so intense and so fast that you can run into a lot of trouble out there, and we've seen that on Friday night.
Yeah, we sure did. I got to go back to the beginning of the race, actually qualifying, and the one part that really, really hurt, our Jason White from Sun Peaks, B.C., that ran the ARCA race, that finished, what did he finish, 24th in the ARCA race, did a great job in that race, also qualified for his Speedway license and was going to be in that truck race. He got out there. I kind of thought he was going to be in the 33 truck, and I believe Jay told us he was going to be in the 33 truck when we had him on the show a week or so ago. And when he was in that race getting ready to qualify, he was in the 34 truck, not the 33, and lo and behold, he ended up just missing the race just by a couple of ticks, and it was a big, big letdown, I can guarantee you, for not only Jay, but for all of his Canadian race fans. It was a real heartbreak for him, but it happens.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's there was a lot of trucks that went home. I believe there was seven of them that didn't end up qualifying. There was Jennifer Jo Cobb and Corbin Forrester, and the list goes on and on of people that missed the show. Tough pill to swallow, but it does happen. And, you know, it shows that you definitely he's got the talent. It was the truck that held him back.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's he's going to come back. He'll come back stronger again. By the sounds of it, he's going to make another run at it.
Yeah, that would have been his third truck race had he got into that one. It was his third attempt at a truck race.
Mm-hmm.
First one was CTMP last year up here. Had a great run in it. Second race that he did was in Phoenix. I do believe it was Phoenix.
Yep.
Again, had a decent finish. And then real excited for Daytona. Needed to get the Super Speedway license. He did that through the ARCA Menard Series. Got it. Went out there. And, it just didn't work out for him. But like you say, we haven't seen the end of Jason White getting into a truck, I do believe. So it was kind of super to see. The other big surprise, or not big surprise, I shouldn't say it that way. Another good surprise was to see Johnny Sauter. A month ago, got pretty well booted out of the GMS truck, and look at him now. He's back with Thor Sport in the 13, back to his old number, and talk about competitive. Johnny Sauter looked really, really good in the field.
Yeah, definitely, and they brought a fleet of trucks down there to Speed Weeks. Thor Sport
did. They sure did.
You know, when you look at it, they had Ben Rhodes in the 99. They had Myatt Snyder in the 27. They had the 13 of Johnny Sauter, as well as the 88 of Matt Crafton. So definitely a massive amount of trucks and a big undertaking for those guys, and was exciting to see. They all had a good run, and you know, and plus Grant Enfinger as well.
I was just going to say, you got to add Grant in there.
You know, and when you look at the final results, obviously they tore up a bunch of stuff, and even the truck that finished second was tore up a bit, you know, it was definitely a good showing for those guys at Thor Sport, but they definitely wanted more. They wanted more out of that.
Before we start talking Atlanta trucks, let's have a listen to a couple of interviews that I pulled off. First, let's hear from second place finisher Grant Enfinger in that champion Ford for Thor Sport. Here's what he had to say in the media center at the end of the truck race Friday night.
I gave Crafton a good shove there. Right after the green flag, through turns one and two, and Austin had too big of a lead at that point. So at that point, I was like, perfect, we're going to end up 1-2 right here. And honestly, he just threw some major blocks that had to get Crafton checked up. And if I would have got him again, I would have wrecked us. feel like that was probably our best opportunity to make something happen. Also had another good run coming to the white, had a really good shove. My gut feeling was once I tried to sneak out there, I thought he was just going to fill the gap. So then I tried to give him a good shove and just didn't have anybody lined up behind me there coming out of four. So just, it's a crazy night. I mean, Daytona gets like that. Sometimes it seemed like the Xfinity race last year was like this. I don't guess it was a full moon, but man, it sure acted like it. It was just, carnage everywhere. But for us to do what we did, go two laps down, get everything fixed, I'm proud of our guys, proud of the truck we brought here, had good speed. We really did everything right all night, I think, and able to salvage a good finish. And now the real season starts next week at Atlanta.
You know, Grant Enfinger is one of those kind of guys. He's an ARCA champion. He isn't going to be too long. He's going to be a truck champion, too. That guy can wheel whatever he gets in, and he's a real smart racer. That's what I really like watching. Grant, whenever he straps in, I got to watch.
Yeah, definitely. He's a racer, you know, and he's not just a wheel holder. The guy, you know, can work on race cars. He knows everything there is to know about race cars. And he gets after it, and he's got that lingo and that knowledge to be able to dial himself in over the course of a weekend. Even if they unload and they're struggling, he's got the acumen to dial them back in and find you know, what is going to make that truck go faster, or car, whatever he's in.
Right, right.
And, you know, looking at Grant last year, he had a chance at the championship. He was there and just missed it by the skin of his teeth. But I do believe that, you know, I mentioned Austin Hill being a championship favorite, you know, now. I think that you have to put Grant Enfinger into that box as well, alongside with two of his teammates, really.
When you look at
the 88 and the 13, those two are potent, and ThorSport has definitely, it's a big addition to get Johnny Sauter. Not only the race car driver, Johnny Sauter, but the knowledge that he had and Joe Scheer had from GMS. GMS last year and you know, for the past couple years has been a superpower in the truck series. They've got tricks up their sleeve, and you know, Joe Scheer and Joe Scheer Jr. and Johnny Sauter really were the generators of all of those little tricks. So bringing those and the addition of those two being together again, after them being with GMS, they're evenly a powerhouse team again. And where last year I think that ThorSport struggled a little bit with their transition out of Toyota and into Ford, and, you know, being so far away and as well having a couple of young guys strapping into those equipment with Myatt Snyder and as well with Ben Rhodes, you know, with that extra knowledge that they have built up from those two guys and as well the, you know, the addition from over at GMS, I think that they're going to be very strong at week in and week out.
And this is the first time around for Johnny Sauter to ever have wheeled a blue oval, right? He's never been in a Ford.
Correct.
And now he's got some results. He did have a stage win on Friday night. He's getting some data. But to have a guy like Johnny Sauter, like Joe Scheer on top of the box, add in Matt Crafton and Junior Joyner and all of the assets that Duke and Ronda Thorson have now, you got to be really seriously look at them as taking back over where they were on top for 2 years with Matt Crafton, a two-time champion. They're going to be going after it again in 2019 by the look of it. It's going to be real interesting to see what unfolds at Atlanta this coming weekend, and cool on the truck series for now having a schedule that pushes them in and gets them and keeps them going now instead of having that big break.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, looking forward to, you know, what they've got coming down the line, by the sounds of it, you know, there's going to be some really neat races throughout the course of the summer. Obviously, they've had the truck series race at Eldora. It's going to be back. You know, you've got the CTMP race. There's a lot of really cool stuff coming down the pipeline out of the truck series. And I think that, you know, some of the names are going to be shocking throughout the year. There's going to be some really wild card names enter the truck series. Obviously, next week you've got Kyle Busch. He's going to strap back in. He hasn't been in a truck for a while. You know, so he's going to be in the 51. They talked about it during the broadcast at Atlanta. So he's going to be tough to beat. Obviously, you know, with Rudy Fugel and those guys in the 51 camp. But it's going to be really interesting to see what they can put together, you know, over the course of the season. I think that they're going to have a little bit of a truck count problem at some of these races. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Just simply, you know, guys like David Gilliland were there at Daytona and you know, that aren't going to be there full time. And there was a lot of trucks like that. A guy like Clay Greenfield and Chris Fontaine. And there's a bunch of names that aren't going to be there every single week. You know, week in and week out, in the truck series that were at Daytona and probably will be there for the Talladega race as well.
We see that in Xfinity. We see it in Cup and in truck. If there's any series that has an opportunity to fill those seats, I'd have to say it's a truck series where it's the best value you can get and have still the opportunity to get out there and race with some real quality, trucks around you, cars around you. It's going to be awesome to see. Angela Ruck is a girl that was in that truck race. She ended up finishing up in eighth spot, only the second female in truck history to come away with the top 10. Got a quick clip with her from the media center after the truck race Friday night. Here's what young Angela had to say.
Yeah, I will say it was a crazy race. You know, yesterday in practice, we got some good runs in the draft. I was kind of learning a lot with Joe Nemechek, obviously, as my big help for the weekend. And obviously, I struggled a little bit in qualifying, missed a shift. But all in all, wow, a top 10. It's a dream of mine to be here. Obviously, my uncle won Daytona 500. So for me to carry in his footsteps, you know, and to walk away the top 10, man, I'm ecstatic. I'm so proud of myself.
The truck series is full of stories, just like young Angela's there. That's kind of cool. You were saying when you lived down in Charlotte, she's a real estate agent down there?
Yeah, it's a real estate property management type of deal, and she's obviously Derek Cope's niece.
Niece, yeah.
You know, it was definitely cool to see that whole deal come together with Joe Nemechek, and of course being in the number 8, which is John Hunter's ride.
Yep.
You know, it was definitely cool. Obviously, really good equipment. The number 8 is you know, always fast, and Nemechek has built quite the little truck series team out of that shop that they have. And it will be cool to see, you know, what all comes out of the Nemechek camp for the rest of the season. I think this was only a one-off deal for Angela.
Right.
She might be in a couple more throughout the year, but I believe that Joe is going to attempt to do the whole schedule by the sounds of it.
That's cool, isn't it? Front row Joe.
It is for sure.
Yeah, he looked good in the truck race, too.
He did. Didn't get the finish that he wanted. Obviously,
no.
Finished 16th in the race, but... crashed out with the rest of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of carnage, same as the 500, but we're going to hit this break. When we come back, we're going to try and grab Tracy Hoskins. We'll talk about New Smyrna Speedway and the 53rd World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing. We'll get a wrap with Tracy on the other side of this break, or at least we're going to try to. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans, this is Ernie Irvin. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
Side by side for the win!
Wow. It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Race Time Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
And we're back
with more Race Time Radio.
This is where we just jump back in, and welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. here in the Racetime Radio studio. So glad you could tune in tonight. A big, big Speed Weeks is what we are coming off of. 2019 firmly underway. And all through the last nine nights, we have had Tracy Hoskins in the garage area at New Smyrna Speedway, getting us and keeping us right up to date on everything that was happening there. And we've got her on the hotline before she jumps on one of those big birds and flies north. Tracy, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys tonight?
Doing real good. Wow, what a Speed Weeks. I guess that's the only thing I could think of to say. What a Speed Weeks.
Yeah, it was great this year. I mean, it's been a couple of years since I've actually been down to Speed Weeks. And, you know, over the last couple of years, the car count seemed to be dwindling a little bit. But this year, there was amazing car counts and really great racing and, you know, green to checkered racing and not a lot of tore up race cars. It was actually... it was a really good week for Speed Weeks this year.
You know, Junior and I watched the whole thing unfold on Fans Choice TV, and I got to tell you, Tracy, this has to be the most competitive World Series that I can remember watching in the last 10, 15 years. It was nuts.
Yeah, there's a lot of great racers that came. You know, you have a lot of young guys that are coming up, and they use a lot of the Speed Weeks to kind of test and practice for their upcoming years, but... you know, you have some veteran drivers that came out this year to race, and then you have young guys, and it was very stout field, and I think in every class.
How about Bubba Pollard? He comes away with his first, and I say first, ever World Series championship in the Super Division. He did it in David Rogers, number 11. David was out for a surgery. He was healing up. Bubba Pollard jumped in. Look at the results he had, and it must have been amazing watching him live.
It was great. I mean, I really enjoy watching Bubba race, and, you know, I'm friends with him and his sister and that whole crew, and it's just, you know, he puts on a show whenever he races, and he's, to be honest, he's one of the most humble drivers I think I've ever gotten to meet. He's just a true racer. He's, you know, pro everything for short track racing. He's got the best interest in short track racing at heart. He's a very, very big advocate for short track racing and, you know, hopes that they can go in the right direction to keep car counts and keep costs down and, you know, let those other guys that may not have the big team budgets race and be competitive and that sort of thing. And he jumped in that car this week and he did a great job. I mean, they struggled one night, you know, based on tires. They just didn't come out the way they wanted to, but they had an amazing Speed Week. And for him to win in David Rogers' car was just memorable. It was a great, great experience.
Now, all week long, you were in there with the number 84 team, driven by Alex Labbe. It was going to be Martin Lataloupe or whatever. I can't remember Martin's last name. I call him Lataloupe. Martin was going to be in the car. Then he wasn't. They put Alex in. And on short notice, Alex Labbe turned some numbers this week.
Yeah, I mean, he did a great job. We struggled a little bit early on in the week, just trying to figure out the car. You know, it something wasn't right in the car, and then we found it. They had a wrong part on the right front spindle of the car. They changed that, and then our times picked up. And, you know, Alex did a great job qualifying and a great job racing. Wish we could have done a little bit better last night. We just had some issues with some brakes that, you know, weren't to our advantage, so we came out with the 12th place finish. But overall, it was a great week with Alex. He's an amazing driver, and you know he made my job easy. So it was really good.
What were some of the takeaways, Trace, from Speed Weeks? That you know, there's always a lot of stories that come out of that place, whether it be racing related or not racing related. But what were some of the cool takeaways for you over the course of the week?
There was a lot. I mean, I have personal ties to some racing, and, you know, I was spotting for Alex this week and for Augie in his stuff. So I have some personal ties. But you know what? It's the car count, I think, was the greatest takeaway from this week. If you look back over the point system for the super late models, even though they weren't all out at the same time, there were 34 super late models that competed over the course of the week. And, I mean, we had two nights that went green to checkered, with no wrecks. It was just the racing was great, and I think that's the biggest take-home for me, was just to see the amount of talent, to see the amount of cars come back this Speed Week. It was just, it was fantastic that way. And to be honest, you know, there wasn't, you know, everybody talks about Ricky Brooks and the Room of Doom and, you know, qualifications, and that's, you know, the intense thing after the race is, are people going to pass Tech? And, you know, for the most part, this week was great. For the most part, everybody passed Tech. There was a couple nights with a couple guys, you know, unfortunately got disqualified, but that wasn't the big talk of Speed Weeks like it normally would be.
Well, and was there much talk about the Canadian Short Track Nationals coming up at Jukasa? Was there much talk about that?
There was, and, you know, they had flyers out down there, and I'd given a bunch out to some pro late model teams, so I think there's going to be more people come up to compete from the South this year, for sure. It's the money. You know, everybody wants big money races, and, you know, and that's what short trackers want, so... You know, Alex Nagy is giving them to them. So there's a lot of talk about a lot of people coming up. So we'll see how what happens.
Absolutely. Well, you did a tremendous job down there, my lady. We can't thank you enough for keeping us up to date, having those photos and everything flying through. We sure do appreciate it. Sounds like you got to go get on that bird, though.
Shortly. It's a little bit delayed, which, you know, that's just my luck. What I fly, it seems to be, but, you know, it happens.
Yeah, it sure does. Tracy, thanks so much for all you've done this week. Have a safe flight, have a safe drive home, and I know we'll catch up with you again real soon.
That's great. Thanks, guys.
You bet. That's Tracy Hoskins. Did a great job for us all week long, Junior.
Absolutely. We had boots on the ground down there. Even though we weren't down there, it was definitely cool. She kept us right up to date with everything behind the scenes, and it was definitely pretty cool that she was part of Speed Weeks.
So Bubba Pollard wins the super end of things. The late models ended on Friday night after their big 100. We had a lot of good Canadian contingent in there. We had some good runners all week long. I think back to Jerry Artuso. Now, his week ended a little bit early with his late model, ended up getting wrecked. Austin McDonald, driver of the 13 for King Racing, he is going to come up on this show. We're going to get him a little bit later in the program. But young Austin did a tremendous job. Brand new, heading into a late model. Got Cassius Clark right there, guiding him through, along with Andrew Hicken, and he is the grandson of Rolly McDonald. Those guys did a great job all week long. Add in Nicholas Noggle in the 80 car. We had some good contingent down there, and about, what, three-quarters of the way through the week, we're watching the modifieds go, and I see a number 90, at least I think it was a 90, Rick Warrens, and I thought, man, I wonder if that's Ricky from Ontario. Sure enough, from Newcastle, Ontario. I felt terrible. He was down there running in the modified class. Something else to see.
Yeah, definitely. And he definitely had a rough go. He was a little bit off the pace compared to, but when you look into that pro late model division, Noggle turned a corner towards the end of the week, and he seemed to come on strong. You know, he was by far the strongest Canadian down there.
You know,
in the pro late models, and hats off to those guys because they definitely, you know, turned some numbers and even finished on the podium by way of disqualification the one night by Jeremy Miller. But it was definitely cool to watch. Less than normal, though, I would say. I would hazard to say there was less Canadians than normal down at Speed Weeks.
Yeah, there was. There was. The quality that we had there was really good. But there wasn't the numbers that we normally see head down south. But I can tell you, they knew we were there this year.
Absolutely.
With the teams that were present. It was a great Speed Weeks. It was a good World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing at New Smyrna. Always is. Always great to see, and definitely proud of the Canadian contingent that went down, and to see some of the guys that they were competing against was pretty wild. Man, there's a lot of good teams. That five team in the Pro Lates, the driver is done now. If you go by his interview at the beginning of the week, he said, this is it. This has been on my bucket list to run at New Smyrna through the World Series. But he said, after this, I'm hanging up the helmet. Man, that five car was a bullet.
He's going to be rethinking that, I think. He was so fast down there. they're definitely a powerhouse team in pro late models in the upper Midwest. Could you hang up your helmet after a week like that?
Jeez, I don't know, man.
Like, obviously, he got teched out one night, you know, and he was part of a little bit of a squabble, if you will, with the size of the chip and the big eight motor and
the nose height. He got nailed one night.
Exactly. But, going back to the Haley Deegan comments about his motor and all that stuff, he had a little bit of a rough go in speed weeks, but he was ultra fast. And that's all you can ask for out of a team. You know, they brought a bullet to speed weeks, and everybody knows that the five car was there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you'd have to be blind to have missed that car.
Exactly.
It looked like a good week. Well attended, too. Got to put it out to New Smyrna Speedway. The attendance on most of those nights was really good.
It was. Now I will say this. They lost a large chunk of grandstands with that hurricane that went through.
They did, but they replaced part of it.
They replaced part of it with
stuff from Daytona.
Yes, absolutely. They replaced the grandstands. It didn't go all the way down into turn one anymore.
Right.
With that new grandstand seating that they had from Daytona, the VIP suites or seats, if you will, with the padded, flip down chairs, definitely a big addition for those guys. And packing the people a little closer together made it look full and made it look exciting.
Sure did. If you were down there at New Smyrna Speedway or down at Speed Weeks, and you want to dial us in tonight, please do so. Give us a call. Our phone number, 888-572-2384. The number again, 888-572-2384 is our hotline number. Feel free to give us a shout. We are going to throw it back to Toronto for news updates at the top of the hour. So we're not that far away, but we got lots of time to take your calls tonight. Give us a shout. What did you think of Speed Weeks 2019? And it would be real cool to hear from you tonight here on the program. Junior, where do you want to go now? Let's hear from Michael Annette. What do you think? We hear from him, winner of the Xfinity race just yesterday at Daytona International. Here's what Michael Annette had to say in the media center after the big win.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not only, taking a lot of criticism for if I belong in this car the past couple of years and the results, I earned that criticism and put a lot on myself. So, this off season and just put everything I had into this team, into this car, into this, upcoming season, just to make sure there was no variables that we can control and didn't, just didn't want to, it's Daytona, but didn't want to pull out of the tunnel and think, man, if I would have done this, maybe leading up to this weekend, we would have had a better result. And I feel like we did everything we possibly could. I know Travis and the guys did at the shop. I've never seen so much work go into a Speedway car, and I don't think it has a scratch on it, to be honest with you. So that's pretty exciting going to Talladega. So it was just a lot of fun. A lot of homework went into this. I didn't think it was – our sport's not easy, but I didn't think it was going to be that easy. But it's just a testament to how good that car was, the Hendrick power. And honestly, someone said something out there that last pit stop, I think we got out by an inch and beat our teammate out. And that was the difference. So just the little things here. And we were able to control that. And the guys were spot on. And we got out, with him drawing the number one pit stall on Thursday. It started there. So just had a really good feeling about the weekend.
Yeah, dynamite for Michael Annette to see him get his first win. Man, he's got to be a real happy guy.
Yeah, definitely. And, when we seen Michael Annette in ARCA for the very first time, I think back to it. He was always a great restrictor plate racer in the ARCA Racing Series. He turned a corner and it's like his career fell off the map.
Yeah.
And really, it did. It fell off the edge of a cliff, and there was no dialing it back. And
he had that big wreck at Daytona. That really messed him up, and he bounced back from it.
Exactly. And you know, obviously went into the Cup Series and dabbled with Harry Scott and the 46 team. Just struggled and struggled hard. And, you know, as well went into junior motorsports after the Cup Series dabble and with the Harry Scott team, still with Flying J and all those great partners that they have. You know, I didn't think, and I don't think that anybody in the you know, in entire contingent of motorsports, I don't think anybody thought Michael Annette's coming back. And, you know, that's sad to say, but I'm being honest when I say it. I'm happy to see that he is back, you know, back in victory lane. And I hope that they can carry that on. I know they've made a ton of investments. They've changed a lot within the organization to make him better. And you can hear it in the interviews after the race. He was ecstatic. And you know, I think he sounds more dedicated now and more driven to succeed now than he ever has.
Yeah, and that's a 1-2 for junior motorsports.
Absolutely.
In the race. Justin Allgaier,
yep,
was second.
Yep.
We're going to hear from him in just a bit. Got a quick clip with Justin Allgaier, too. But a pretty proud moment for Dale Jr. I know from my side, it was kind of a stinker of a race.
It was for sure.
Nose-to-tail kind of deal. I was hoping the 500 wasn't going to turn out like that, and man, it didn't turn out like that. It was more like the truck race, the 500 was, than what it was the Xfinity race, but kind of good that it turned out. But the Xfinity race, even though it was kind of a stinker, got to be a good moment for Junior.
Yeah, and really 2 years in a row to be 1-2 at Daytona, it's definitely big. You know, looking back to last year, they had Tyler Reddick and Elliott Sadler in the 1, 1-2, and now this year they've got, you know, the 1 and the 7, 1-2, so definitely a big year for Junior Motorsports, and you know, obviously when they roll into Daytona, they're always really good. And you can see that 1-2.
I wonder how Justin and Michael Annette are going to work together throughout the course of the year. Do you think that's going to be a good combination?
I mean, you only work together at Daytona or Talladega, and really outside of that, you're not working together. You're competing against each other everywhere else. And Junior Motorsports is notorious for working together as best they can. And you know, if it takes dropping down on a restart or something at a mile and a half track, they are always good at that, being team players. So I would say yes, but really the only place where you really rely on somebody else is Daytona or Talladega.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. I can guarantee you that.
Yep.
As the season unfolds. I know we got Kent on the line, but I'm just going to hold them there. We're just about where we throw it back to Toronto. It's only going to be 90 seconds, and then we're going to go off to the East Coast. We're going to hear what Kent has to say. I can well imagine he is going to have tons to say, Junior.
Absolutely, yeah. It's Daytona 500 day. You got to have lots to say.
Well, Denny Hamlin, a two-time winner of the 500,
yeah,
all of the stuff that unfolded there. I bet you Kent's got a ton to say. Can't wait to hear from him, and we're going to do that in just a few moments. We are going to throw it back to Toronto right now. They've got a quick news highlight package that we run every week, and then we are coming back for hour number two. In hour number two, we only got one guest lined up, and that is Austin McDonald. Great guest to have him, my dad. We're going to have him on the show, and the rest of the time is wide open to talk about the 500, to talk about the Xfinity race, truck race, anything new, Smyrna. Maybe we'll talk some dirt. A lot of action at Volusia County Speedway as well throughout the course of the week. We have so much to talk about, and we're going to kick it all off with Kent from the East Coast because you know he's hanging there, but we'll do that in just a minute. Back to you in Toronto.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Race
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing! New race leader on two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
Boom. And just like that, hour number two begins tonight. Open phone lines. If you want to give us a call, please do so. 888-572-2384 is the hotline phone number. And let's get to the hotline and bring in Kent out on the east coast of Canada. Well, Kent, what did you think of that, Speed Weeks?
Let's go racing.
Yeah, we're ready now, eh?
Yeah, quite the prep. Weekend for get your heart racing, and away we go.
So, New Smyrna Speedway on the short tracks. Let's start there. Did you watch everything on Fans Choice?
Not everything, but I tried to make sure I watched all the pro lakes. And I watched the K&N Series race and a couple of the open wheels and a couple of the tour modifieds. And just watched the one super late, but getting to be late nights by the time they come on most of the
yeah,
time.
So. Yeah, that's right, too. An hour difference, right? You guys on that East Coast, you lose an hour.
Yeah, we're an hour faster than they are, so when they're wrapping up at 11:30 at night or quarter to 12 at the end of it, then that's 12:30 quarter to 1 here. So.
Yeah, it gets a little bit late. How did you like that new driver in the 13 King race car? What did you think of him?
I think that that was pretty interesting, seeing him last week leading up to it, following Judy, and she was keeping us up to the practice times and stuff, and last Thursday before they went out, him and Cassius were out and running nose to tail, and he was able to keep right with Cassius. So I just think when they got in there starting the speed weeks, that allowed him to have the confidence that if he kept things in line, that he would do good. And other than the night that he had the loose wheels, you can't fault him what he did.
Tell me he's not surrounded by the best people he could possibly be surrounded by out there on the East Coast. So amazing.
Well, hey, information from Rolly and the tech advice and everything else from Andrew, and then the driver behind the wheel experience from Cassis, that's a pretty good education team.
I would say. Now, let's talk about big track stuff now. Trucks. What did you think of the truck race?
I didn't get to see any of the truck. I can't get the FS1 out here, so
didn't
see any of the truck, but heard about it and seen different clips on Twitter and stuff. One thing I'd like to know, you guys would probably know this, the K&N Pro Series East race that was at New Smyrna.
Yep.
Those cars, they've switched cars, I take it, and those cars look like to be an awful lot like our Pinty Series cars, and I heard them talking about, and then there was one other race there that there's a whole bunch of different cars, from Cup cars on the track to Pinty Series cars to Sportsman Series cars. Are the K&M Pro Series East running a car pretty equivalent to our Pinty Series?
They aren't, Kent. They are similar to basically identical to an ARCA car. An ARCA car and a K&N car both have a composite body, the same body. with the same windshield type. The only differentiator is the engine in the car. They have a spec motor built by Roush Yates in the K&N series, and they have an Ilmor 396 motor in the ARCA series presented by Menards, or the ARCA Menards series now.
Wouldn't it be cool if our Pinty's cars?
It would be.
Were like their cars? Like how much of a, like I know you're talking going from metal to probably composite body, but it just seems like they have that look.
They do for sure, and
2020 they are going to be the same. I do believe I heard that this week.
Yeah, I did. It's
definitely the 50 series is going to the new car or new body or.
Yeah, I would say yes.
Yeah, because
our car and them's not going to change again. They just changed from the talk. That was the talk that I was getting on the track, but I wasn't getting it all because
Correct. Sometimes
something would happen and they go and talk about what's going on in track.
So yeah, just, for sure.
The big stuff.
The Pinty series, the Mexico series, the K&N series, and the ARCA series all had different cars. Now they're getting closer with the ARCA and the K&N, and I do believe that it is definitely in the cards for it to be.
It is
to be the same, but
yeah,
it should be pretty interesting.
You might be able to see more. There'll definitely be more cars around, so more teams will be able to pick. Not necessarily that first year, but
right
through the run of it, more teams will be able to pick up more cars and possibly help car counts all the way around.
How about the NASCAR Xfinity race? What was your take on it?
I fell asleep.
You fell asleep.
It was a struggle.
I caught the crash at the end of it, but I fell asleep. It was boring, single file racing. And when they started talking about the 500 being like that today, I said, oh, my.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I watched the whole Daytona 500, and I would say it's probably one of the, now expiring the last 10 laps, that looked like a Napa Sportsman Series race sometimes.
Right.
The race was quite exciting, quite a bit of passing. Everybody had a chance, and it didn't matter if you're a big guy or a little guy. Look at Benedetto there all day. Just run with the big boys as if he was one of those teams. So.
Yeah, and it looked like that. It kind of cool to see Levine family is now with the Toyotas. That'll make a difference. But like you say, it didn't really matter whether you're one of the super teams or not when you see guys like Michael McDowell, and that's front row. They're just as good. He looked pretty good up front.
Yeah, no, like it was exciting racing, and like I say, there was, and you'd look at the interviews with the guys that with that 10 lap to go crash. Like it was a couple of mistakes, and Paul Menard and the Wood brothers there. He said that I just came down a little bit, and it was a racing thing, and. You're 10 laps to go. It's time to go get the checkers wherever you're at.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. When the guys are racing, the accidents, when they happen, are all part of the game when you're on a restrictor plate track like that. But when they're not racing and they just go nose to tail and everybody's scared to pull out, because if you pull out and nobody goes with you, you're going to the back. So you can't really blame them in one sense. But in another sense, if they're not racing, what are we doing?
Yeah, but like I say, today, that the whole thing, there was plenty of passing for me. It kept me intrigued. It was plenty exciting. You're almost excited because there was no cars being tore up, and there was all kinds of racing side by side. And there, that one section, or there when they started going three wide with about 40 to go, well, I think everybody's hearts at home was beating as fast as the crew chief on the box.
I would say, yeah, it was pretty exciting. It was an exciting Daytona 500 for sure. Denny Hamlin, his second Daytona 500 win. Kind of nice to see him out there for the coach.
Yeah, he didn't have a win at all last season. He's got that off his book now. This year he can just go out and race. He won't have to worry about getting locked into the playoffs, but it'll be interesting to see the new rules package now starting next week to see if we can have more of this side-by-side racing at these other tracks where before they would just line up and stay in a single file.
Yeah, now Atlanta, because of the character in that track, they always did bump around. It did give you a different look every lap by lap. It would change, I would think. I don't know if we'll get a true indication of how that tapered spacer is going to work, but we're going to find out. I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, you might not see it, like you say, because there's good racing at those tracks, but there's some of those mile and a half, like they're getting, like the stages, as far as I'm concerned, stages helped it big time, and I think and I hope that this tapered spacer will create some of the side-by-side racing, and if it can bring those smaller teams in line to the bigger boys, well, then that just adds another factor to it.
You gotta love it. NASCAR's really trying, I can tell you that. Nice to see a full grandstand at Daytona. I was kind of scared for them looking at the crowds throughout the week, but sure enough, we hit the Daytona 500 and that place was full.
Yeah, it didn't look very full yesterday for the Xfinity, but like you say, today it was, well, I think today was the nicest day they had down there all week. And temperature-wise and stuff, we had a couple guys from town here make the trip down to watch the McDonald crew race at the New Smyrna. And like I said, I just want to give props to Austin. I'm going to be waiting to hear what he says and how he thought his week went. But from home here, we were all pretty proud of what he was able to do behind that wheel of the Pro Stock, and can't wait to see him on the Pro Stock Tour.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to hear him. He is going to come up. Kent, thanks so much for the call, buddy. Really do appreciate it.
Talk to you later, guys.
You bet. That's Kent out on the east coast of Canada. If you've got something to add, you want to join us here tonight on the show, maybe you're on your way home from the Daytona 500, give us a call. It's simple. 888-572-2384. The number again, 888-572-2384. And what a Speed Weeks 2019. Pretty amazing, Junior, to say the least, on everything that we've seen. What's your biggest takeaway?
I should have invested in SRI products last week.
What are SRI products?
Well, SRI products is like the place where you buy all the race parts.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
But SRI, it used to be CV products.
CV, racing stock products.
Stockcar Steel, too. I should have invested in that prior to this week. They tore up so much stuff, man. It was, I'm looking forward to the new package when they roll back to Talladega. Of course, it's going to be a completely different package than what we had at Daytona this time around. Atlanta is always a really great race. But I don't think that we're going to see the new package, like you said. I don't think we're going to see the new package come to total fruition until they roll into Vegas, right after Atlanta.
On a smooth
mile and a half surface. You know, watching that little bit of testing that they did out there, the live testing that they streamed online, you know, that was exciting to watch. And it was very similar to a restrictor plate style race. In practice, you know, in testing, I think they're going to be able to stay planted and race side by side, two wide, three wide, and create some really cool passing opportunities. I'm glad that this package is dead now from the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
I don't like the style of racing that it provides. I love the style of racing that the Truck Series provides.
Yo, man, and you can't beat it.
And the Truck Series, you know, the package that NASCAR used to bring to Daytona and Talladega was very similar to what the Truck Series was.
Yeah.
When they took the ride height rule out of the equation and they planted these things at a quarter inch off the racetrack, and that's where the car stayed, that's when restrictor plate racing changed, for me at least. You know, I'm glad that the package is gone for the Cup Series, even though today's 500 was exciting.
Yes.
Today's 500 was exciting.
Yeah, it was.
There was the exciting moments. I think the, you know, looking through Twitter, the amount of fan engagement was there. It was exciting. It was good. it wasn't as good as it used to be.
No, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I hate to do that. And you and I don't usually agree on much, but I do agree with that. When I put a tweet out the other night, and maybe it was last night, back in 1996, 97, 98, I was at Daytona all those years. You were there too. And you'll remember, we were sitting in the grandstand, and it didn't matter whether it was practice, whether it was the Twins, whether it was the Clash. Didn't matter whether it was the Daytona 500. You could go, or Dale Sr., Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon, pretty well anybody that was in that top group could go from the back to the front and maybe back to the back again within a couple of laps.
Yeah.
You could actually see them work their way through, and you could see them, you know, when they got hung out, goodbye, and they go all the way to the back.
Exactly.
But they were only gone for a lap or two or three, and they could work their way back up to the front. There was passing, and there was a ton of passing, and there was lead changes, probably so many they couldn't count them.
Yeah.
It was so many. That, to me, was the recipe, and that is where this sport got all of its fandom from. And somehow or another, we got, like, through hard work and determination by the race teams, it has worked itself right back out of the equation, other than what you see today. Today it was phenomenal.
Today was phenomenal. But
other than you didn't have a ton of lead changes.
Yeah.
Not a ton. Well, there was a lot.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It was entertaining. I loved it. But it still wasn't 96, 97, 98.
Yep. And one of the biggest things, too, is, you know, it's the closure rate that was exciting back then. You could not dominate a line and just maintain at the front.
No.
Back then. And the reason for that is because the guy behind, all he needed to do was drag the brake a little bit and space himself out, build the energy, and then just propel past you.
Right.
And today, you know, they've got a lot better at it. And the super speedway guys, the spotters have got better, the drivers have got better, and they understand how to work the air to their advantage. So there was only a couple of guys back then that used to be able to do it. And now 3/4 of the field can do that.
Right, right.
And you know, I don't think that no matter what package you put, it's going to be back to 98 style racing. That being said, they can punch a bigger hole and give the drivers a little bit more throttle response. Right now, if you back out of it for a split second and go back to it, you've lost everything.
Yeah,
you are gone. And one of the things that you see is the leader of the race, whether he's on the bottom line or whether he's on the top, he'll jump back and forth. And he'll jump up to the top if they get a run to block the run.
Right.
He's not jumping up to the top to get propelled forward, but that's, in fact, what happens.
We never seen that back in 96, 97, 98.
Because the guy would get run over.
Yeah, you would.
When the guy would jump to block a run, the guy that had the run was doing 30 miles an hour faster.
Yeah.
So, and that's what we see in the truck series. So the current package in the truck series, you are using cup spotters who know what's up.
Right.
And then you have some drivers that know what's up.
Right.
Right? And then you've got a bunch of guys that don't. They watch the cup guys. And the cup guys, if you are in first place and the outside lane gets a run, you jump out and protect that lane and stop that run. Well, the closure rate in the cup series, it might be 10 miles an hour. It might be 8 miles an hour.
Right.
The guy literally drags the brake, lifts out of the throttle a little bit, and just or bumps into the back just gently.
Right.
In the truck series, if you do that, that guy could build, it's easy to build 30 miles an hour faster. And then it creates the big one. And we've seen that last night. We've seen it in the ARCA series race.
Right.
You know, is a guy that goes up to block a lane or block a run, if that closure rate is up there and
it doesn't work out.
It doesn't work out. You can't do it. So I think that this new package that you're going to see at Vegas and, well, you're going to see it at Atlanta as well, but it's so bumpy and rough. The cream is going to rise to the top at Atlanta. and even at a place like Texas. But when they roll into Vegas, when they roll into Auto Club, I know it's rough there too, but it's big enough. It's going to be really exciting because it's going to be like the old style racing.
Yeah, well, that track, when you say California, that track there over the last couple of years has turned into a dynamite race. So it's going to be interesting to see it's even better.
Yes, I fully agree. And you know, it is a very exciting race, and it has been because it throws so many variables. You can't seal the thing off because you're basically driving through moguls down the backstretch. It's so bumpy.
Right.
You know, you're talking like, you're talking swells in the asphalt that is more than a foot high.
Really?
In areas.
Yeah.
So when you watch those cars, they're porpoising down the backstretch.
Right.
And it's the guy who can get the suspension tuned in the best. But no matter what, nobody is sealed completely off, because if you are, you're just eating the racetrack with every one of those swells.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And the same thing at Atlanta. It's not necessarily as bumpy, but it's very rough and abrasive. And there's a lot of character to the racetrack in form of bumps and cracks in certain places.
Well, that's the track last year that the guys were saying, please, please do not repave this track.
Correct.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's coming up next.
The one thing that I say, and I've said it to a lot of people, don't judge the package based on what we're going to see at Atlanta.
Right.
I have a sneaky suspicion. You know, just after watching that test and being at Atlanta and seeing the track and seeing how it races, I don't think that this new package is conducive to good racing at a place like Atlanta.
Really?
Because the only reason why I say that is because somebody's going to hit the setup,
right,
suspension-wise, and they're going to be really good, and they're going to be very fast.
Yeah.
And that's typically what happens at a place like Atlanta or Texas anyways.
Right.
And no matter what package you throw at it, they're just going to be on the throttle so much longer than the other guy.
Right.
So I think that you're going to see more pack style racing until the tires fall off, which at Atlanta is only going to be three laps.
Right, right.
And then it's going to go right back to where mile and a half racing was last year.
Yeah.
And or for the past 15 years, where the leader is going to be a mile out front. I could be wrong. But I'm pretty certain that's the way it's going to be. Now, when you get to Vegas, where they can hold it full throttle for 9, 10, 12, 15 laps.
Right, right.
Without the tires falling on their face, I think that you're going to see a crazy, amazing race.
Yeah.
They're going to be bunched up.
More of a lumped up race.
Yeah. Yeah. Where at Atlanta, I think they're going to still separate.
Can't wait to see what's coming. That's going to be cool.
It's going to be exciting.
We're going to hit this break. When we come back, we'll try and dial up that. How about we try Austin McDonald? We're going to try that on the other side of the break. Stay with us here tonight.
Hey, race fans, this is Mike Skinner, pole sitter of the Daytona 500 in 1997. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
Well, it's all right. Riding around in the free.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the SiriusXM app.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
It's Racetime Radio. Sirius XM 167. Now, here's Joe.
And we are back with you live tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167. I am Joe Chisholm along with Junior. And we are going back to the hotline and we're going to bring in our next guest that was at the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing for his first time in a Prolate. He drove the number 13. I'm going to say it was 13M or maybe A. Something like that. Was it?
Yep.
Well, anyway, we've got Austin McDonald with us on the hotline. What's going on, Austin? How you doing, buddy?
Good, guys. How are you?
Doing real good. So how was that? There you go. You get your eyes wide open now for the World Series. How was that?
Yeah, I showed up the first day, and it really opened my eyes. But I learned a lot throughout the week, and feel I've grown as a late model driver largely.
Well, I'll tell you what, you were exciting to watch on FansChoice.tv. We watched you all week long. Man, you had some good runs going, Austin. You impressed a lot of people.
Thank you. That means a lot. It was in and out throughout the week. We had a few mechanical issues, but I'm really happy with our finish. We finished fifth in points, and I don't think I could ask for any more than that.
Man, you got to love it. You come from the east coast of Canada all the way out somewhere around Halifax, I would imagine. You can clarify that. But I'll tell you what, how many times have you been in a late model? Because you look at times like a crafty veteran out there.
That was the first race at New Smyrna was my second pro late model race.
Wow. Incredible. Man, you did a dynamite job. Whereabouts are you guys actually from? Is it Halifax?
Pictou, Nova Scotia.
Oh, you are from Pictou.
It's about 2 hours from Halifax, an hour and a half.
Pretty amazing stuff. You were down there with your grandfather, Rolly McDonald, your dad, Duff. You were Andrew Hicken down there with you, Cassius Clark. You were surrounded by a bunch of good people.
Yeah, the whole King crew came to support me, and I mean, I couldn't have done it without them. I'd like to thank my grandfather for all his support. I wouldn't be where I am today without him. Also, my dad and Andrew and all the crew for setting up a really fast race car. I'd also like to thank Fury Chassis for giving me a really fast race car to work with.
So, Austin, I know you guys took down more than one 13 car. Did you stay in the same car all week, or did you guys bounce back and forth? How did that go?
We practiced one day before, and we practiced both, but this is a brand-new Fury chassis and a Fury car that we ran, and we ran the same car all week long. Cassius ran a few nights just practicing and then ran the 100 lapper in the other car.
Yeah, and he didn't make out too bad. You were still ahead of him, though, weren't you?
Yeah, we qualified good and raced in front of him. They were still trying to work it out. There was a few technical issues with that car, but I'm really glad we had the large overall speed.
Pretty amazing stuff. What's the biggest takeaway from the 9 nights of racing that you did in the World Series at New Smyrna? What's the biggest thing you take away?
I think I just take away the car control I learned. I mean, there's some of those drivers are great drivers and great to be around. You get lots of close racing there. Side-by-side racing, three wide even at times. Sometimes those don't always work out, but they're worth a try.
And you kept the fenders on it all week, too. I didn't see you with a mark on the machine.
We tore off a fender and a bumper one night, getting a little aggressive, second last night.
That's, coming out of Speed Weeks with a fender and a bumper, that is the cleanest that most anybody can ask for coming out of that place.
Yeah, we did 250 laps of racing, and I figured we'd been a lot worse with me just learning, but it all turned out okay.
Well, that's cool, man. Looking at the racetrack, Austin, obviously, a young lad like yourself, you had raced once before, and then you jumped into to racing at New Smyrna. I tell you one thing, as if there's a piece of advice to be given, don't drive into Turn 1 at Scotia the same way that you do at New Smyrna. It's definitely, there's a lot more banking there.
Yeah, we practiced at Scotia before we came down, but it was a little different. A lot more banking, a lot more speed.
Absolutely. Wasn't intimidating, Austin, you know, jumping behind the wheel? Obviously, you'd race Legends cars and stuff like that in the past, but was it intimidating jumping out on that racetrack the first time with a group of cars around you?
My first night, I was really nervous before I went out and almost really timid out there, but after that first night was over and we found some speed and I realized that we were good enough to keep up with those good cars, my confidence level kind of picked up and just worked from that and gained more car control. And by the end of the week, I felt very confident in the car.
Absolutely. If you could restart Speed Weeks right now, if you could restart and it was night number one, what would you do differently?
That's a tough question, but I mean, I probably not a lot. I mean, we had a really good car. We figured something out there near the center of the week, so probably not a lot because we just learned so much, and I feel like we couldn't improve on what we did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you guys did a dynamite job. Now, you got to retain all that stuff that you learned. What does this do for you now? Is this going to spring you into the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour as a regular? What's the plan for this summer?
Well, see, at home, we can't run really any late model races or legend races at that until I'm only 15, and you have to be 16 to run either or at home. So you're probably going to see us down in Maine and maybe down in the south running a little bit of late model and legend stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll practice some more late model stuff. I want to focus on that. I just got to convince Grandad.
Yeah, just convince Rolly that, you know what? I think your driving would have convinced him of a whole pile this week.
Thank you. Yeah. I saw a smile on his face, and you don't see those very often.
I don't think I've ever seen that out of Rolly.
Yeah.
I've seen it a few times.
Have you? I have it.
Yeah, and you know what?
Austin, I'm not saying anything bad about him. It's not a bad thing.
No,
it's just
no.
The way that he is. Yeah. It's just that would be cool to see. A big old smile on his face when you get out of that race car. That's cool.
The cool part is you would have had a pride smile come out on Rolly this time around, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Pretty amazing stuff. It was dynamite watching you all week long. I know we enjoyed it here and seen a lot of comments on the Racetime Radio Twitter. And there was a lot of fans tuned in to watching you. Pretty exciting stuff, Austin. You did a great job.
Thank you. And thank you to all the fans watching. I mean, I love your guys' support, and I always love hearing comments on Facebook and the radio. I just love hearing support.
Yeah, good stuff, buddy. You guys have a safe trip home now. You going to hang out there for a couple days? How did you enjoy the 500? Was it a good show?
Yeah, the 500 was a great show. We were down in the pits all day, and now we're just sitting in the parking lot ready to go back to the beach, and I fly home tomorrow.
There you go, back to reality. Did you get to rub any elbows with any of the big guys in NASCAR while you were in the garage area?
A few of them. I got to meet Daniel Hemric for the first time, which is pretty cool because we knew his dad and his mom. We raced with them around the legend cars, so that was pretty cool.
Well, I can tell you from being in that garage area and doing a bunch of coverage from Daytona International Speedway, I think back quite a few years now, but there was a young guy walking through the garage area, and I mean young. He was probably even a year or two younger than you are right now. He had a big H on his shirt for Hendrick. And I don't know who that kid is. And that was Chase Elliott back in the day walking around the garage area. He was signed with Hendrick, but, of course, he was too young to drive anything for him just yet. And look where he is today, buddy. You may have just started a trend here.
Well, we hope so.
It would be kind of awesome if it happens. But you have a safe trip home, and good on you for doing it. Hopefully we see you in the Parts for Trucks deal soon.
Thank you. Thank you guys very much for having me on the show.
You betcha. That is Austin McDonald. Great speed weeks for him. Can you imagine, Junior? You'd have to be a sponge. But the results that we've seen him do this week, a number of times I was really shocked to see where he was in the lineup. He was doing a dynamite job.
Yeah, and just a note to Ken Cunning. I know you got a rule. but I mean, when you look at a kid coming out of Speed Weeks with a fender and a bumper that got tore off the car,
and that's it,
and finished in the top 10 basically every time he strapped in a 23 to 25 car field every single night, the kid's ready. He's ready.
Yeah,
there's a lot of guys that would load up and not run that good and tear up way more stuff. So I'm an advocate. I protest you, Ken, and you should definitely allow him to run.
Well,
so, just so you know.
You know what you could do in the rule book? You could put you must be 16 years of age unless
you can run Speed Weeks and not tear anything up.
There you go.
I like that.
And then he would actually qualify to get in there.
I mean,
you know, they got rules.
A rule is a rule.
And a good rule is in there.
Yep.
Especially with the Parts for Trucks tour. There's a lot of kids Austin's age that think they can go do it.
Absolutely.
But what Austin has done here, he hasn't just said he can do it.
Yep.
He has gone down there and proven it. That's saying something.
Yeah, for sure. And really, you know, there was a couple of times there where he got into some really tight situations, you know, and we watched every single race that he was
did.
In. And you know, phenomenal job. We are definitely beating on the Austin McDonald drum because it was a lot of fun to watch him. A lot of fun to watch Nicholas Nagel as well, you know, and the other guys that were down there. But good job, kid. And hopefully Ken allows you to race.
Yeah.
Ken, come on.
Yeah.
That's from Junior.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just, you know what, you got to poke the bear sometimes.
Every now and then.
Shake the tree and coconuts will fall sometimes.
See what will happen.
Unless you shake a pine tree and then it's just a bunch of pine cones.
That's it. Yeah, you got to be careful at that, don't you?
That's right, yep.
Any other surprises for you coming out of Speed Weeks, out of the late model ranks,
from what we've seen? The biggest surprise for me, the car count in the tour-type modifieds.
Wow, it was
hats
through the
off.
Roof.
Congratulations to every one of those guys. So cool to see the support that they had. I think one of the biggest surprises for me was the quality of coverage in which Fans Choice provided. It was cool sitting at home and watching it.
It was.
I loved it. I didn't not go because I, you know, could watch it on TV. If I could have been there, I would have been there.
Yeah.
100%. But, you know, the fact that we couldn't make it and it was on the TV, so cool. You know, you got to give props where props are due. And as well, one surprise takeaway is the fact that the K&N series was live for that race at New Smyrna.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a big, you know, thank you to Fans Choice. You know, we don't get it. We can watch the tape delayed version of the K&N series races on NBC Sports Network, which, of course, is not available here in Canada anywhere.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
We cheat. We've got an IP box and we watch it. But I mean, you know, I loved the fact that that K&N series race was live, and I hope that that continues as a tradition. You know, that was definitely cool to watch, and they put on a great show as well.
Well, when you see the uptick, and I got to call it an uptick, in fan support at New Smyrna Speedway, you got to know that the Fans' Choice coverage has got to be helping. Any fans that are new to this sport, that are maybe just stepping in now, and, you know, just becoming a race fan, because there are new fans being generated all the time. They may not understand, well, they won't understand, what the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing is all about. They wouldn't have an idea that, you know, Speed Weeks, they'll know the Daytona 500 happened today. They'll know that, you know, the season has kicked off. But they won't understand, on the short track side of things, what takes place. With Fans Choice Television, gives them a good bird's eye view from home. They can see what happens. And I'll tell you what, seeing it is believing it. you want to maybe go down there next year and check it out and be there for the nine nights. I'll tell you, I've done it a number of times, would have done it again this year. Had I not been recovering from what I had going on, I think I would have been there this year. And it's a tremendous nine nights of racing. To see it on television is one thing. To be there live is totally different.
100%. And, you know, it's you don't get a chance to see the qualifying procedure, the practice sessions. It's such a massive undertaking that New Smyrna takes on every single year, and really Volusia County does as well. And, you know, they open the gates every day at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they shut the gates every night at 2 a.m.
2 a.m.,
and
yeah.
they're back at the racetrack again the next day. So really hats off to all the people that not only bring it to you, media coverage, and not only the teams that put it on, but also the racetracks. You know, when you look at the people that it takes to run a Speedweek-style event, it's just a massive undertaking.
And night after night, nine nights straight is what they run at New Smyrna Speedway. And
yep.
It's even more than that at Volusia County Speedway.
Exactly.
On the dirt side of things. And they're massive programs. If you look at the dirt side, been over at Volusia County and seen that too, it will blow your mind. As a race fan, if you're really wanting to experience a sport, I definitely encourage you to get out to your local short track, but you got to take in Speed Weeks at some point in your life, and you got to head for the Daytona Beach area. Go see what's happening at Daytona International Speedway through the day, and at night, you go 30 miles up, and I think it's Highway 40
44.
That leads up to Volusia County or Barberville. You can go that way, or you head over 25 miles the other way, and you're heading to New Smyrna Beach and New Smyrna Speedway to see the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing. And I'll tell you what, you can't go wrong going either location. We're asphalt guys. We always have been. And this show's definitely got a slant towards the asphalt side. And I'll tell you, it's amazing to go down there and see Speed Weeks. It's well worth the money. Only problem is you do it once, you'll be doing it every year.
Yeah. Absolutely, you will.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing is you get hooked on it. You know, there's a couple of guys that I know that go down every single year now.
Yeah.
after the first year, it's, man, you can't miss it after that. But, man, a lot of really wild news coming, not news necessarily, just a lot of talk coming out of the late model realm here in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I spent the day yesterday in the Grizel shop over at Andrew Grizel's and you know, just talking racing and there's a lot of guys putting together race cars for next year up here in Ontario.
Well, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're going to hit this final break of the night.
Yep.
And when we come back, we'll talk about what some of those rumors are that you heard in the shop just last night. Here on Racetime Radio. We'll do that. Phone lines are open, by the way, 888-572-2384. Still got time to hear from you as well. We'll be back.
Oh, I know. It goes, asphalt's racing on dirt for planting potatoes. But I ain't saying that.
You already did.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen,
men,
and I'm Mike Babchak. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me? I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady. Me? Anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You? Talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me?
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
New to Sirius XM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa, cut it out.
Lucky us, what a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right, no sloughing off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, only on Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103. Or listen on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track live, coast to coast, next.
Only on Race Time Radio.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't know.
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's Channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved SiriusXM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you tonight on Race Time Radio, or maybe you're tuned in on the PerformanceMotorsportNetwork.com. Hello to you. Or how about 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, or Gearhead Country Radio? Or maybe you have missed a bunch of the show and you've tuned in on iTunes, because Race Time Radio is available on iTunes. Just click the subscribe button, grab it, download it, and enjoy the show. Sure hope you have. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior, here on SiriusXM Channel 167, live, of course. And it's been quite a Daytona 500. Congratulations to Denny Hamlin. We want to do that. And before, Junior, we start yicking and yakking about stuff we've heard locally, what do you say we hear from the second-place finisher in the Xfinity race? I forgot to play Justin Allgaier's clip here, and we do have a clip with him. Have a listen to what Justin had to say in the media center after last night's race at Daytona.
I wish I had a good answer for you. Last year we were running second on the original attempt at the green-white checker, and I was released from the care center before the race ended because I remember watching my teammates cross the line side by side, and I had already been evaluated and released. So, you know, this year was interesting. I felt like coming down to the end of the race, you know, we had seen a clean and green race pretty much all the way through, and I just expected something crazy to happen. You know, somebody's trying to side draft and mistime it or something along those lines, and it just never did. You know, Michael drove a fantastic race, and even right there at the end, I tried to back up to Brandon and get a run on Michael, and it just seemed like the top row, for whatever reason, we were all having slight handling issues, but nothing that is out of the norm. And I just couldn't make a run. You know, I just couldn't generate that run that I have in the past. So for whatever it is, I don't know, but really, really happy to come home second, but also too extremely excited for Michael. The whole one team, you know, just to see the joy in their celebration afterwards. I've been there, and I know what that experience is like, and to get that first win is definitely monumental. So as much as I wanted to win, since we didn't, I was so glad to see their emotion. It was really cool.
Yeah, that was Justin Allgaier, finished second in the Xfinity race to his teammate, Michael Annette, which we did hear from earlier in the show. I just totally forgot about that clip and wanted to get that in there. Good 1-2 for Junior Motorsports in the Xfinity race from Daytona. Now, what are you looking at, Junior? I see you busy on that phone of yours.
Oh, nothing. I'm just scrolling through Twitter, just people crying that they didn't push me and I didn't push them and all those great things.
Oh, but, yeah. Well, that's what you always see at the end of Daytona, right? Yeah.
Everybody's got hurt feelings other than Denny Hamlin. And I imagine Denny Hamlin's even got some hurt feelings from throughout the day, even though he won.
Well, but two-time winner of the Daytona 500.
I know. That's a big win for them. And you know, wild. Yeah. Wild turn of events. Ford performance, I thought, was going to dominate the end of the 500. You know, when you look at it, Toyota shook out on top.
Yeah, they sure
but,
did.
But just a good showing and a solid race all in all. A solid week for really the entire NASCAR contingent. It's funny, you know, you look back through the week and everybody after the Clash was like, man, this racing's not going to be very good for the 500.
Right.
And then the duels, man, this race is really not going to be good for the 500. And then all of a sudden they go out and put on a show. So
yeah,
definitely pretty cool. And it was a great race.
Good to see for Joe Gibbs too, because you got to know that they're racing with heavy hearts. They lost JD in January.
Yeah, definitely.
There is a foundation set up for JD, and you can get the link. Just get to Gibbs, and the link will be right off their site. But heavy hearts on those guys, and they go out and they win the Daytona 500. You got to know JD was looking down. And just yesterday, we also lost Sam Bass, which is a huge artist that NASCAR hired years ago. You see, cars like Jeff Gordon's car, Sam Bass designed that car. He was always the guy that would paint up the guitars that you would see at Nashville. I met Sam years ago at Daytona, interviewed him. I've got a signed photo from Sam that he gave me, and to hear of his passing was another shocker in the NASCAR world, and that just happened the other day. So our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody in Sam's family, but definitely in the NASCAR family. I know he was really good friends with Daniel Norwood from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Daniel's a good friend of mine, and I know he was feeling it because we were texting back and forth. And a lot of heavy hearts, a lot to celebrate, but a lot of heavy hearts as well.
Yeah, definitely. Sam, he was such a racer at heart. You know, the guy, you know, he helped racetracks do things like racing programs and painting the cover for the Daytona 500 program for years.
Yeah.
Guitars and as well the cars themselves that he designed, and championship posters and things like that.
Did you ever meet Sam?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So his shop was just up the road, from LFR, and you literally pull out the driveway, turn left, and it was the first right, and that's where Sam Bass's shop was. And I went in there quite a few times, like just to poke my head in the door and look around, because he had a studio there. And of course, he ended up moving from there down into, I guess it was Don Garlett's shop, just down the road in Concord. But
oh yeah,
but when he had his original studio there, it was a very large studio, he had all different types of samples and pieces that he had done, and original artwork behind glass and stuff like that. It was pretty cool. But Sam Bass, that's one thing that I love doing, and I kind of attribute it to Sam is designing race cars. I love designing race cars. Well, ever since I was a little kid.
You've designed a pile of them.
Yeah, I've designed quite a few race cars just, graphically on a computer. I realized that I couldn't draw, at all freehand, but
right.
On a computer I can, whip up some pretty cool paint schemes and things like that. So definitely sad to see the guy go, and he left his mark, that's for sure.
Yeah, born in 1961, same year as me. That hits close to home, really.
Most definitely.
Only 57 years old. He was a young guy.
Young guy.
Well.
Young guy.
Young guy.
You're an old guy.
No, I'm not. I'm a young guy. You turd.
I always got to get my dig.
Yeah, you do every single time.
Old guy versus young guy jokes.
You're getting old.
I'm junior and you're senior.
I see some snow on the roof over there.
Senior.
Yeah.
Senior.
Okay.
I don't have that title.
Now that 2019 is firmly kicked off, racing has consumed us once again. And I might add, what a whale of a kickoff this year. We've got to look forward now to some of those big events that we're going to see in Canada. I know you're going to see the IWK 250 at Riverside International Speedway celebrating 50 years, and that's coming up the July 20th weekend. CTMP. We've got the Silverado 250 weekend, Canada's ultimate NASCAR weekend, where you get the NASCAR Pinty Series, you get the NASCAR Gander Mountain Truck Series. They're coming back up here for the Silverado 250. Tickets are on sale now for that event. And, of course, the Canadian Short Track Nationals that are going to take place at Jukasa Speedway with a $75,000 to win super late model race leading
pro.
Up super
pro late model.
Oh, it's a pro late model race. You're right. Leading up to that particular race, you've got a busy week. I think it's July 25th. You're going to see the APC series. Kenny Wallace is coming back to Canada. He's going to jump into that race. There's so much that's going to be taking place. Sauble Speedway also celebrating 50 years this year. So I know we're all excited to see what happens at Sauble Speedway this year. Next week on the show, while I think of it, we're going to get Anthony Leak on here. You'll remember Anthony. Any longtime listeners of Racetime Radio will remember Anthony being on the show. He used to take care of Emo Speedway. Remember that speedway?
Yeah.
Emo Speedway, right outside Fort Frances, Ontario, out near the Manitoba border, dirt track, and Anthony was there. He has changed tracks. He is coming out with a new facility in Kenora, Ontario.
Wow.
They did open up last year. I think they ran like one or two events and then shut her down. It was the end of the year. They finished everything now, or in the midst of finishing everything, and they're going to have a grand opening this year. Anthony Leak is going to join the show next week, and we're going to find out more about the Kenora Speedway, and we'll do that next week. And we're also going to have Bob Smith on here, general manager of Eastbound International Speedway in Newfoundland. Bobby is going to join the show with some news from out on the rocks. So that's a little bit about what we've got coming. But what have you heard on the weekend with regards to some late model racing?
Well, I can't really discuss on the names, but just the amount of cars that are being built right now.
Oh, we got a lot of cars being built.
There's quite a few cars that are being welded together as we speak for guys that are surprising to me. But you're going to be surprised at some of the names that you're going to hear jumping into late models for some of these big events all across Ontario. So,
good deal.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be exciting by the sounds of it. McCall is welding together a bunch of new late models.
Nice.
And it should be pretty neat to see, you know, some of the names. But one of the you touched on the event side of things. One event that you guys, that everybody out there needs to circle on their calendar is the Sauble Speedway event where they're going to race two APC points races within 3 days.
Yeah, that's huge.
So they're going to race on Friday, take Saturday off, and then re-rack and race Sunday as two separate events.
Wow.
At Sauble Speedway this summer. So that is an event that you need to attend. It's going to be wild.
That is August, I'm going to say 4th, August 4th and 6th or something like that. Check it out. You can get to saublespeedway.ca. Have a look at the schedule that's on there, and you can pick those dates off. There was something I was thinking of. Well, I know what it was. You want to see some of the new hardware that is going to be debuted up here in Canada? You want to make it to Motorama. Motorama is coming up that first week of March. The first weekend takes place at the International Center in Toronto. We're going to try and grab Greg from Inside Track, get him on the show next week, and he can sort of preset the stage, if you will, for what we're going to see at Motorama. But there's lots coming. That's going to be a good show.
Yeah, definitely. Always is. Kind of a kickoff to the Canadian racing, if you will, up here. Just kind of gets everybody's blood pumping and gets everybody fired up for the season. But always a lot to look at, a lot of announcements. By the sound of it, there's going to be lots of Pinty's announcements at that show. There's going to be some old familiar faces strapping into new hardware, they'll be talking about it at the Motorama show.
Oh, man, we got so much coming down the line. We're going to get to every one of those Pinty's teams as we work our way through the off season. We'll get you up to date on everybody that's running the national tour. But Junior, that's going to do it for you and I here in the Racetime Radio studio tonight. Got to thank Susie Q here. Got to thank everybody back in Toronto for getting us all hooked up. And I got to thank you for tuning in to Racetime Radio. Sure hope you enjoyed the show. Tell your friends to tune in. And they can do that again next Sunday right here on Racetime Radio. But that does it for us tonight. Have a good one, everybody. Safe travels home if you're down south. We'll see you when you get back up here. Have a good one. We'll catch you soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.